I'm a teacher.
I'm a researcher.
I'm a mother.
I'm a lawyer.
And I believe in acting kindly toward you, because you are...
A Muslim lady.
You are very special. There's no one just like you. You are very special. And I'm so glad you're mine.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. A very warm welcome to the program, The Muslim Lady. This is your host, Zainab, and I have with me, Siddiqa. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
A very warm welcome, Siddiqa.
Thank you very much.
Dear listeners, Siddiqa is a student of jurisprudence in the Hawza Ilmi of Qom, and she's also a researcher. She researches a lot on the issues related to women. So here we are to discuss another issue, that's abortion. Siddiqa, in our previous episode, we discussed something regarding abortion. We discussed what is abortion, how does Islam define it, and what are the different viewpoints, Islamic views and secular views, why Islam does not support the absolute right to abortion. Now we have a question: that does the regulation on abortion mean a regulation and control over women's body?
So this is an argument that's posed quite a lot by people who want to say that we have an absolute right to abortion.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, right now, per year, there are about 40 to 50 million abortions per year that happen. A lot of these, the arguments that are posed by those who support abortion say, first, it's a woman's body, therefore she has absolute right over what she wants to do with her body.
Okay. We keep on seeing those placards, it's my body, my choice.
Exactly. While there's a truth to it in the secular world, my body, my choice, there should also be an understanding that every action has a consequence.
Yeah.
If there's a consensual relationship without the necessary contraceptives used, now I can understand there would be issues where a contraceptive would fail, but if two consensual adults get into a relationship, then they need to be aware that their relationship without the necessary precautions will have a consequence. Now, that consequence is an independent identity. Just as a woman has an independent identity and an independent body, that child, that fetus as well, has an independent identity and an independent body.
All right.
Therefore, we are supposed to choose over here the right to life over the right of a woman over her body. Now, once she has, in all across the whole platform, whether it be secular or religious, the right to life holds greater value than the right to one's own body. If I have made a choice and I have a consequence to deal with it, whether I like it or not, it is a result of my choices. Now, over here, we are talking about a very broad spectrum. We're not going into the nitty-gritty of what if she was raped? What if it was unconsensual relationship? What if? We're not going to the what ifs. We are looking, as we said in the first episode, we are looking at a very broad spectrum that viable, safe pregnancy out of two consensual adults who have entered a relationship. Now, because Islam gives marriage and family planning such important value, now then they come about and say, look, you're regulating my body. That means you want to control my body. And this goes back to the idea that men want to control women's body.
All right. Now, again, Islam, those false slogans of feminism and all.
Exactly. Now, let's say if that child were to be a female, right? And if someone wants to abort the child because it's female, we would still come back with feminism, right?
Yeah.
You're aborting a female child. Feminism has its own criteria and its own discussions and views. But when it comes to regulation, first, Islam is not regulated by man or woman. It's regulated by Allah, who is not gender-based.
True.
This is something that's very odd in the world today. If you call Allah he, because in Arabic, Allah is referred to as hu Allah, because the male pronoun is used, therefore they come back with the argument that Allah is a male. Why don't you call Allah with a female pronoun?
All right.
Which is rather absurd because Allah is not a human being to have a male or a female pronoun to him.
Identity, yeah.
It's just because the language has only two pronouns to use, male or female. We don't have a choice over here. So first, the regulation around abortion is by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not by male
or
female.
Not by humans. Well, we'll discuss more on that after a short break. Dear listeners, stay tuned to IRIB English Radio.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Muslim Lady.
Welcome back. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. This is Muslim Lady. I'm with Sadiqa and we're discussing different forms of abortion. And Sadiqa's throwing light on the topic in the different dimensions. Yes, Sadiqa.
So like we were discussing, the idea that is regulation around abortion within the Islamic framework by a male or a female. And we say this by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is not gender-based. It's just that we use the male pronoun because language gives us only two pronouns. And using it for Allah is quite insulting.
Yeah.
Using it for any person is insulting. So therefore, the next thing is, when it comes to regulating abortion, now in the secular world, yes, there are some cases where ectopic pregnancies are regulated. Abortion in cases of rape is regulated, where women are not allowed abortion. But that's in the secular world. We are looking at the Islamic world.
So does Islam have different views, different set of rules?
Yes, Islam has very different views for every case, right? Okay. Because it is supposed to be an all-encompassing religion.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when it comes to regulating abortion in Islam, it is regulating the right of life of another being. It's not regulating the mother's body. This is something we need to take into account. Regulations on abortion in Islam are regulating the right of life of another child, not the body of the mother.
Okay.
Right? And when we look at it this way, then we move away from the regulating the woman's body theory. Because now the right of life of another being takes precedence over other issues around. After this, then they come with the idea that a woman has been raped or a 9-year-old girl was raped, as it has happened recently, where she got pregnant and giving birth to the child would put immense pressure on her that it could potentially harm her for life.
Okay.
Now, in these cases, in every individual case, Islam has its own laws.
So what does Islam say about a woman who was not actually involved with another guy in a relationship with her own choice? And indirectly, we say like she was raped. What if a child comes into existence over here?
So I'm going to give first a very general set of rulings, which is part of the Iranian constitution.
Okay.
As it has been
Which is
researched.
Based on Islam itself.
Yes. Now, this is a very general, okay? We'll go case by case later. But in a very general, abortions can only be performed under a few specific conditions.
Okay.
The fetus must be less than 4 months of age. And that is mainly because, like we said, ensoulment happens after 4 months, where the soul enters.
Enters the body.
And then that child is seen as a complete being already.
Yeah.
Because the primary focus in Islam is the soul.
Yes.
And there's a whole very intensive philosophical view on what the body is.
Yeah.
Right?
We would want to know more about those rules of the constitution after a short break. Dear listeners, stay tuned to IRIB English Radio. Welcome back. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. This is Muslim Lady. I'm with Sadiqa and we're discussing abortion. And right now she's talking about the rules of the Iranian constitution, which are in itself based on Islam regarding abortion. Yes, Sadiqa.
So according to the first one was that the fetus must be less than 4 months of age and it must be before ensoulment. Ensoulment is technically seen as occurring around 20 weeks of gestation. And then the second condition, it must be that the fetus must be suffering from profound development delay or deformations and malformations that today, through science, we're easily able to
recognize.
Quite quickly as well. These fetal problems may also cause extreme suffering or hardship for the parents, or the life of the mother should be in danger. Because like we said, in Islam, the right of life takes precedence over other choices. Therefore, when it comes to between the mother and the child, again, the right of life of the mother is given more importance over here, given that she's a fully formed external being. So there are cases of how Islam goes ahead when it comes to right of life as well.
Okay.
And the fifth must be that both the parents must give consent. So it can't be that the father is forcing the mother to make an abortion, which happens quite often, where sometimes the mother does it without the father's consent, or the father forces the woman to go through abortion. And this is not recognized because both parents have a right to the child.
They're equally involved.
Yes, they're equally involved. And obviously, when it comes to abortion as well, when abortion occurs without
the consent of mother.
Yes. Or even if abortion in general, if it occurs without the consent of the mother, it does bring about a lot of mental health issues for them in the future. And again, we need to address these issues of how women should be helped to deal with post-abortion.
And that trauma.
Yes, the trauma. And even if they are not allowed abortion, there should be some services available for them to get through this period of difficulty for them.
Tough time, yeah.
Yeah, where they're able to deal with what's to come. And in abortion itself, when it comes to Islam's view on abortion, if there's a safe, viable pregnancy and the parents do go ahead and abort the child where they're not legally, Islamically allowed to do so, the rules are quite strict on this. When I was reading through the jurisprudential rules on these issues, it says that they actually have to, according to one of the scholars like Ayatollah Sistani, who's based in Najaf, is a jurist, he says they have to give blood money to the inheritors of the child. They have to fast for 60 days and they have to seek forgiveness for abortion. And this in itself shows the magnanimity of this issue. The abortion is seen as a crime in itself.
Okay.
Such that blood money itself becomes mandatory to be given.
Oh, yeah. So, well, we saw that it becomes a crime in certain cases, but there are still certain cases wherein Islam has a different point of view. It's even allowed somewhere. So we'll discuss more about the topic in another session. Thank you so much for being with us. Thank you so much, dear listeners. You were listening to IRIB English Radio. Until another session, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Who is the lover?
Allah.
Who is Ar-Rahman?
Allah.
Who is Al-Mannan?
La ilaha illallah. Muhammadur Rasulullah. Muhammad is the messenger. To Allah is our return. La ilaha.
The Quran, given by God to Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his family, more than 1400 years ago, as guidance for humanity.
La ilaha illallah.
Muhammadur Rasulullah.
Quran speaks about women.
The Quran teaches the equality of men and women in the eyes of Allah.
Chapter 33, verse 35.
All praise is due to the one and only. He is the master of all creation.
Modesty and chastity are encouraged by the Quran, both for women and for men.
Chapter 24, verses 30 and 31.
He is the sustainer and the maintainer of the whole universe.
God created us from one male and one female and made us into nations and tribes so that we make to know one another, not to despise each other.
Chapter 49, verse 13.
La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, Muhammad is the messenger, to Allah is our return.
The Quran has indicated worthy women in history just as it has mentioned such men, and has commended them greatly.
Chapter 3, verse 37.
Allahu Akbar, Allah.
الله أكبر الله أكبر